Well, he was at the grand final with his brothers Kevi Walters, and I'm sure they were going for the green machine. Of course, both former players of that particular club, Kevi and Steve. It was a magnificent game, but in the end, the Roosters took their opportunity, and James Tedesco scored the match-winning try. But it was a sensational atmosphere, and to tell us all about his thoughts on the game, Kevi Walters joins us on the line. Morning, Kev.
Yeah, good morning, Loz. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Yeah, still getting over, you know, Sunday night. I mean, I was obviously in the Raiders' corner, and the Roosters, though, they thoroughly deserved their victory. It was a great performance from them. One against the odds. There's a bit of stuff going on throughout the 80 minutes, wasn't
there?
But you know, in the end, they found a way to win, which is the sign of a great side.
It was a hell of a game and a hell of an atmosphere out there, Kevy.
Yeah. Oh, it was sensational, mate. You know, all of the Raiders fans in particular, so many green jumpers and green hats and green scarves. It was magnificent support for the green machine. I thought that might have been the tipping point for them to get them over the line, but this Roosters side, they've shown us over the last couple of years that they've got some talent there, haven't they? And they just, you know, found, as I said earlier, found a way to win. Not many scoring opportunities for them, really. And Latrell Mitchell, that ball that he threw on, it was just magnificent pass. Highly skilled player, and then Tedesco finishing the movement off to win the game for them.
Yeah, well, you know as well as anyone, Kevy, that it comes down to big moments, and he was relatively quiet, Latrell, but one piece of brilliance was able to give him his team a chance of winning the game, and they just took it. And that's the difference when the big games are being played. One team takes the moments when presented, and the other team misses their opportunity.
Yeah, it's 100% right, Laurie, and particularly with Latrell on that left side, he's such a threat, and you know they didn't sort of give him much space at all, really. And those sort of players, they just create things out of nothing. Him and Joseph Manu on the right side, they're just continually, you know, a threat to the defensive line. So, you know, I thought the Raiders, they defended brilliantly to keep the Roosters just to 14 points when their average was well over 22 points a game for the season. You know, they did magnificently, but it just wasn't quite enough. They had a couple of opportunities themselves, the Raiders, and I just felt they didn't quite capitalise, you know, on those moments, and the Roosters did, and in the end, that was the difference.
Now, this is probably a tough one to answer, Kevy. Now, you've had a lot to do with Cooper Cronk, both at the Melbourne Storm and with Queensland State of Origin team. Is he as influential or more influential than Cameron Smith? Where do you rate them together, or is one better than the other in terms of influence that they had on their football team? How do you stack it up?
Yeah, look, I think it'd be unfair to put one in front of the other. I mean, Cameron Smith has been a great captain, great leader. We've seen, you know, his record at the Melbourne Storm, but I, you know, and Cooper Cronk, he's always been a favourite of mine, I've got to say, from the first time we sort of started working together around State of Origin and down at the Melbourne Storm, you know, understanding how much work and how much detail he puts into his game, and he's just, you know, he just got better, I reckon, in the last 2 or 3 years. Even, you know, so Cameron Smith obviously sits on top of the pile, but gee, there's a lot of guys not far, you know, underneath where he is, and his record, Cooper Cronk, is outstanding, isn't it? 9 grand finals for 6 wins, something along those lines. So, you know, and again, I thought the other night, you know, he wasn't the Roosters' best player, but he's always in there. You know, particularly in defence, that's where he really comes to the fore as a halfback. That's normally where teams have a bit of a weakness defensively, but he's just so strong there. And his tackle decisions and his decision making in that position is second to none.
Maybe this is a question for both of you I can ask. I mean, especially to you, Kevy, is it like having an extra coach on the field? Because it seems like from media reports we've heard from Trent and whatnot that whatever's discussed during the week, when Cooper's there, it gets done 100% to the T of what they've spoken about. Was it the same with Origin?
Yeah, well, exactly the same. I mean, you know, he just maintains a match plan better than anyone, I guess. And I've heard some comments through the week about, oh, if the Roosters, you know, get behind, that's when he struggles a bit. Well, you know, I can't go along with that. I mean, he's always in the game, Cooper Cronk, and he's got plans for when he's in front by, you know, 1 or 2 points, when he's behind by so many. So, you know, and but, you know, it'd be unfair to mention the rest of the Roosters guys as well, because you need all 17 players to execute that plan. But he certainly leads the way in great instructions. And I really particularly like this season, where he's sort of taken a bit of a step back in his role there at the Roosters. And, you know, he sort of let Luke Keary sort of play a more dominant role as such. But when things got a bit tight or things needed to happen, well, he stepped up again. And, you know, I think it's been magnificent from him, the way he's brought Luke Keary on there as well through his couple of years there that they spent together.
The thing that's always stood out for me with Cooper is the calmness and control he plays with. And, you know, some players, the quicker the game, the more they tend to go harder at it. And whereas Cooper always tends to get slower as the game's getting faster and being more in control, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's 100% right, Laurie. And, you know, we saw it in the semi-final, didn't we, against the Melbourne Storm when, you know, he put on that play on that right side and they made a break and then they scored the try. So, you know, just got so much time, as you say, and when he's behind or when he's in front, it doesn't really matter. He still plays the same game, and that's the way he trains as well. It's no secret. That's how he does it at training too. He's the one tempo all the time, which gives him great balance across the 80 minutes, and he always looks to be in control, and he never gets flustered, like Cameron Smith, like Jonathan Thurston, like all the great players. They seem to have a bit more time than anyone else, don't they?
Certainly do. I've got to ask about the controversial calls. I'll start firstly with the trainer and that issue. Would you like to see, instead of the scrum going to the attacking or the territorial advantage team, would you like to see the situation where it's just a dead ball, like I say in a cricket, and we just go back, play the ball and have that tackle again?
Well, I feel that the attacking team got too much advantage there when it hit their trainer. If the ball ever hit Alfie Langer, he'd be in trouble, I can tell you. He's on there more than any other trainer. So, yeah, I just thought that was a bit of a tough call against the Raiders, certainly. Do we need to see a rule change? Yeah, I think we do. I think that the trainers have so much influence now over games when they're on the field continuously giving instructions, you know, pointing players where to go. They're basically like a 14th man. So they need to, you know, I think that they should have a good look at the rules in that occasion, because it was all the Raiders' good work came undone because there was a trainer sort of, he wasn't in the way in any way, but he just got caught in the wrong position, which, you know, that's just tough luck.
Well, when would you like to see the trainers on the field, Kevy? Is it a stoppage? Is it a, you know, when the opposition score a try or your team scores a try?
Yeah, I don't mind that. When they're on there or how long they're on there for, Laurie, as long as they're not interfering with the game or influencing the game. And I felt that one play, as small as it is, was an error from the Roosters, and they got the advantage by, you know, the restart with themselves in possession.
And the biggest call of the night, Ben Cummins, the kick goes up. He waves six to go and then changes his mind when he was tipped off by the pocket referee. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, again, we've seen this over the season, unlike the trainer one where he got hit with the football. We've seen this continually over the season where they change their mind sort of in the tackle, the referees, because there's two of them adjudicating and one sees something that the other one hasn't seen. That's where the confusion comes in. So, you know, did they get it wrong or was it they didn't get the call wrong, but they actually, I think, by shifting the call during the play, I thought that's what got it wrong. But did that cost the Raiders their premiership? No, I don't think it did. In fact, I'm sure it didn't. I mean, you and I have played a lot of football games, and there's been many times in games where players make mistakes and many times in games where referees make mistakes. And it doesn't normally influence the outcome of a game. And, you know, I think if the Raiders went back and when they have a good look at their game, there'll be some areas where they feel they should have been a bit better at. And then they could have got some points, and then we wouldn't be talking about the six to go as such. So it was a bad call, but did it cost the Raiders the premiership? No, not at all. The Roosters thoroughly deserved their win.
Well, I've got to ask, Kevin, just quickly, what did you say to Josh Papali in that Origin camp? Because he came back from Origin, and he has been unbelievable. Unbelievable, mate.
Yeah, well, I didn't say much to Josh. He likes to do his talking with his actions, and, you know, I think his last month of football has been as good as any forward, you know, in the competition. And again, the other night he continued to cart the ball forward, you know, for the Raiders. And his minutes, his quality of work through his longevity on the field as well is one that's been, I think he went nearly 60 minutes straight again in the grand final. So, you know, that's a huge effort from Josh. And he can hold his head mighty proud and mighty high He's been a terrific leader this year at Origin level, also the back end of the season for the Raiders. One of the main reasons why they got as far as they did was the performances, of Josh.
Yeah, he's been sensational, Josh Papali, and he can be very proud of his performances. He's arguably Queensland's best player in this year's Origin series, and he was the Raiders and Mal Meninga medal winger. Kevy, last time you're on the program for this year, you're back next year, but mate, we want to thank you for everything you've done for us this year, giving us your time, obviously, throughout State of Origin and every Monday, Tuesday morning on the BSB. We wish you all the best, mate, and look forward to catching up soon.
Yep, have a good off-season, gents. Thanks for having us. What a great season it was again. And look out next year, Loz. Go the mighty Maroons.
How are the preparations going? I know you straight back into it after having a bit of time off there when you lost game three, but preparations all going well?
Yeah, very, very smoothly, mate. It's around the clock, as you know, with Origin. Every day there's something going on. We've got the first game in Adelaide next year, so we're full steam ahead for that one. Before we know it, we'll be talking about it, mate. So we're looking forward to it.
Oh, that's what I need to ask. You only had four players make the Australian team. Is that a concern?
No, not really. No. I think particularly this season with so many of the Queensland-based teams not sort of going, well, the Broncos were the only one that, well, in the Storm, of course, we call them a Queensland team, into the finals, and the Broncos bowed out pretty dismally. They've only got one player, the Broncos, in the Australian side, which is a little bit disappointing. But that reflects, I guess, the season that all those teams had there. Their key players not probably up to the level where they need to be if they want to be picked for Australia, Laurie. And, I think it's a very strong Australian team that's been picked, and largely Mel's correct, around the grand final teams and all the players that played in that, they're the ones in form and they're the ones that will get the job done for Australia. So, yeah, no surprises, really. Would we have liked more in? Yeah, of course we would have, but I think under the circumstances, it's a very well selected Australian team, very well balanced, with lots of talent going around, hey?
Good on you, mate. We'll chat soon. And
have a good one.
Thanks for being on the program this year.
Okay. Thanks, Jed.